The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back as we head into hour two. I am Seth Leibson. The barrier to entry for y'all who may want to weigh in, call in, bring up anything on your own minds is only 10 digits. It's 602-508-0960, 602-5080-960. Please do. Happy to talk to you. Love talking to you. News update based on a story we were covering earlier in the previous hour with regard to the the deaths of those aid workers for the World Central Kitchen in Gaza. The chief of the Israeli Defense Forces, Herzl Halevi, has decided to reprimand the head of the Southern Command in IDF and the Division 162 commander and the Nahal Brigade commander, those that were ultimately responsible for that for those killings for that airstrike. It should be, again, given the history, compared and contrasted how responsible nations deal with things and how responsible commentators deal with things. The CNN headline I pulled up, "No U.S. troops will be punished for the deadly Kabul strike." Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin decides. So as the U.S. Has had any number of innocents die due to accidental airstrikes and bombings in places like Iraq and Yemen and Afghanistan, hundreds under Obama and Biden, including Doctors Without Borders. No reprimands, no memories of these things, no weeks-long criticisms, no people saying we're reevaluating our relationship with the United States. Israel is reprimanding its soldiers for this tragedy. The difference between a tragedy and an atrocity. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. All right, let me move further. I have no one who's taking me up on my question as to whether you can get chicken fried cheeseburgers anywhere. Chicken fried cheeseburgers. No one's. They don't exist, and I think we could do it.
I don't think you've checked Twitter in a while.
Well, that's not exactly it. Mark was giving me a. I saw what Mark wrote, and he was giving me something from England, where you just know that cheeseburgers and chicken fried aren't part of the normal British cuisine. So of course they're not going to do it right.
Yeah.
Tom is in Scottsdale. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Jeff.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, sir.
So I read an article yesterday about there's some national tracking where they track new registered voters, and they're seeing like a disproportionate number of new registered voters, like highly disproportionate, and they're saying that they are attempting to register a lot of these illegal aliens coming across the border. Is that happening in Arizona, or
I don't know. Where did you see this article?
I think it was either PJ Media or Red State.
Okay. Send it along, and we'll hunt it down.
They had tracked like 360,000 new registered voters just out of the blue, and it's a high rejection rate because they're having a hard time getting
security numbers. Yes, I saw something about that. Right, yes. I don't know what the status of that is going on in Arizona. I don't know. But I now know what you're referring
to.
Do
we have things in place that prevent that?
Yeah, the law. It's illegal. It's a violation of state statute to register an illegal voter.
Okay.
And by the way, you can't even register a voter. I mean, you can't even sign a petition or to put someone on the ballot or get someone on the ballot or vote outside of if you don't even live in the same person's precinct. Young David just went through this. Young David is running for precinct committeeman.
This is true.
And even in his precinct, which is about the smallest level of local government you can get.
It's pretty small. It's about a square block.
I work across from him, and I can tell you, I'm a second-generation American who is not an illegal alien. I couldn't sign his petition. We even live in the same city. It's illegal for me to sign this petition. It's not illegal for me to sign it. It's just that it doesn't count. But it is illegal to register illegal aliens under state statute in Arizona.
So is that an endorsement?
I endorse you.
And endorse me?
Yeah. Publicly? Don't tell people about your race? Tell them. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think we brought it up on air before.
Yes, so I am.
You got all interested in becoming someone who would go in becoming a delegate to the
I read Stephen Shattuck's book.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I was interested in participating in the political process.
Yeah.
And the first step in that is becoming a precinct committeeman, which is a local level. And it's too late now, but in 2 years, all of you listening out there can become precinct committeemen for your own precincts and legislative districts. And I went out and got my signatures and, assuming that everything – that there's no trouble with the paperwork, which, you know, fingers crossed and all that, I will presumably be on the ballot in the primary election for those people who get Republican ballots in my precinct, which is very small. Like I said, it's about a square block.
But you have an – so you will literally be able to vote for yourself when the ballot comes, which is kind of cool.
I guess so. I'll have to take a picture of that one.
Yeah. It'll be really cool. And you have a running mate.
I do, kind of.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm running for a position where it's not just me. There will be others who can be eligible, and it's the first several people who get the top amounts of votes.
Right. So I endorse you.
You endorse me.
And
yes.
And there's a famous name who you will be
there
running with.
There is a famous name.
Go ahead.
Whom I'm going to be running with. Yeah. I don't know if we should spill the beans yet or not.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why not?
Why
yes.
not?
Former Representative Barry Goldwater Jr. is also a neighbor of mine in my precinct, and he will also presumably be on this ballot with me.
Yeah.
If we get to that far and both of our paperwork
yeah.
is in tip-top shape.
So Dahl Goldwater or Goldwater Dahl is all
right.
you need to
that's
remember.
Our ticket. We're going to make campaign buttons because you know me.
Yeah. I think that's really cool.
Yes.
I remember introducing you to Barry Goldwater Jr.
Oh, yes. I remember that
at a
party
reception
too.
And you were just so excited because you had been so steeped in reading all about the Goldwater campaign and learning.
Exactly. That was probably a matter of weeks after I had
yeah.
read Stephen Shattuck's book on his father's campaign.
And you and Congressman Goldwater spent the rest of the evening together, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. People forget. He's about town a lot. He's involved in politics in town and several charitable organizations as well. He was a long-term member of Congress from California. I think he served something like 16 years in Congress. People forget that. But am I right about that, David?
I think it was around 12 or 13, but yeah, it was a very, very long tenure.
Yeah,
yes.
I think he was in Congress a long time.
He replaced Reagan's running mate when Reagan was elected governor of California.
Who was that?
It's either Reinecke or Finch.
Yeah.
Depends which year it was.
Okay.
I forget which year he entered the Congress.
I think he entered in 69.
In 69, so it was probably Finch.
Yeah.
Because Finch went on to serve in the Nixon administration.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Right.
Which is why Reagan got a new running mate in 1970.
Okay.
So it was probably Finch whom he replaced.
Yeah.
And he went on and tried to run for the Senate.
Yeah.
And was defeated by another prominent California Republican. Do you know who that might be?
What year?
1982.
Pete Wilson?
That's right.
Yeah.
Pete Wilson.
Yeah. Interesting. Pete Wilson beat Goldwater Jr., huh?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I remember Pete Wilson as a senator. I remember they wheeled him in on a stretcher for a vote once.
Oh.
There was a picture of it. I think it was Reagan's tax cut vote or something like that. The Reagan tax reform vote. There was a picture of them, you know, in those days, pre-COVID, I suppose. host. They actually required you to be there to vote, and they wheeled Pete Wilson. Do you know who else, what else we have as a connection in Salem World to that Pete Wilson campaign? It was as a volunteer for the Pete Wilson campaign that our colleague and friend Hugh Hewitt met the fetching Mrs. Hewitt.
Oh, no.
Isn't that fun?
So Hugh Hewitt was a resident of California?
Transplant? Oh, yeah, no. Hugh Hewitt is from California, longtime Californian. And it's true that a lot of relationships come out of political campaigns. A lot. A lot of healthy, normal ones, not just the scandals. A lot of healthy, normal. A lot of people meet their lesser and better halves at these things, in these things.
So there you go.
Yeah. Church and politics.
Goldwater 24.
Okay, Dahl Goldwater 24. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I am Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. The folks at Midas Gold Group have told us that the U.S. government and the Fed will have no choice but to eventually steer interest rates lower, because if they don't, the current level of interest rates will bankrupt the nation. There's no telling when the dam will break, but when it does, Midas wants to make sure you have flood insurance, in this case, gold. Call the Midas Gold Group now. Look into the opportunities gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call 480-360-3000 or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Midas Gold Group is the nation's number one veteran-owned gold IRA firm. Protect your assets. Call 480-360-3000. That's 480-360-3000. Midas Gold Group, always faithful. MidasGoldGroup.com. I threatened to or promised to expand on Peggy Noonan's column in the Wall Street Journal, where she was talking about funny things that can happen to a nation's thoughts when at some point everyone realizes something is actually true. And then she says a person of high respect, a good faith scholar who respects data, comes forward with evidence proving what everyone knows. And it's galvanizing. She's not talking about Biden's infirmities. She's talking about Jonathan Haidt's new book, The Anxious Generation, How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness. We all know there's a mental health crisis among the young, that they seem to have become addicted to social media and gaming, and that these two facts seem obviously connected. Mr. Haidt says and shows that the latter is a cause of the former. He tells the story of what happened to Generation Z, those born after 1995. Older members of Gen Z entered puberty while four technological trends were converging. One was the arrival of the iPhone in 2007, another the continuing spread of broadband internet. The third, starting in 2009, was the hyper-viralized social media age with likes and retweets and shares. And in 2010 came the front-facing camera on smartphones, which greatly expanded the number of adolescents posting carefully curated photos and videos of their lives for their peers and strangers, not just to see, but to judge. This became the first generation in history to go through puberty with a portal in their pockets that called them away from the people nearby and into an alternative universe that was exciting, addictive, unstable, and unsuitable. Pew Research found that in 2011, about 25% of teens, a quarter of teens, had a smartphone. That meant they had only limited access to social media. They had to use the family computer. By 2016, 80% of teens owned a smartphone, as did 28% of children 8 to 12. Soon, teens were reporting they spent an average of almost 7 hours a day on screen. 7 hours a day. One out of every 14 said they were online almost constantly. Girls moved their lives onto social media. Boys burrowed into immersive video games, Reddit, YouTube, and, yes, pornography. The tidal wave came to these children during puberty, when the human brain is experiencing its greatest reconfiguring. In puberty, as brain researchers say, neurons that fire together wire together. What you do at that time will cause lasting structural changes in the brain. Suddenly, children spent far less time playing with, talking to, touching, or even making eye contact with their friends and families. They withdrew from embodied social behaviors essential for successful human development. It left them not noticing the world, and signs of mental health crisis quickly emerged. Rates of mental illness among the young went up dramatically. Between 2010 and 2024, major depression among teens went up 145% among girls, 161% among boys. There was a rise in disorders related to anxiety. Now, some medical professionals were skeptical. Most pertinent studies were based on self-reporting. Maybe young people had simply grown more willing to talk about their feelings. Mr. Haight looked at changes that weren't self-reported. Studies charting emergency psychiatric care and admissions, they too were up. The rate of self-harm for young adolescents, girls, tripled from 2010 to 2020. It was a great rewiring, and it's not just about the changes in technology. Parents, over the past few decades, made two big choices about how to keep children safe, and both were wrong. We decided the real world was so full of dangers that children should not be allowed to explore it without adult supervision, even though the risks to children from crime, violence, drunk drivers, and most other sources have dropped steeply since the 1990s. At the same time, it seemed like too much of a bother to design and require age-appropriate guardrails for kids online, so we left children free to wander through the wild west of the virtual world where threats to children abounded. A dark irony. Parents are often physically overprotective of their children out of fear of things like sexual predators. But those predators have moved online, where it's easy to find and contact children and where parents have thrown up the white flag. A 14-year-old girl wrote this in the Free Press. I was 10 years old when I watched porn for the first time. I found myself on Pornhub, which I stumbled across by accident and returned to out of curiosity. The website has no age verification, no ID requirement, not even a prompt asking me if I was over the age of 18. The site is easy to find, impossible to avoid, and has become a frequent rite of passage for kids my age. Where was my mother? In the next room, making sure I was eating 9 differently colored fruits and vegetables on the daily. There are reforms that we can engage in to fix this. Before I get to those reforms, I want to re-emphasize that a society that concerns itself with childhood and children is a society of sanity, precisely because at that the brain is experiencing its greatest reconfiguring. What you do at that time in childhood with the brain will cause lasting structural changes in it. I'm all for these reforms that I'm about to go through, but something I've become more and more interested in as I'm learning more and more about this. I've been dealing with it on the drug issue for many years, knowing what drugs can do to the rewiring of the brain. Permanent structural damage. Permanent. And so shame on those that make it all the easier. I'll go through the 4 reforms when we come right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. The most underappreciated and underrated, at least underrated in history, I think, trumpet player there, Al Hurt. He could do anything. He was not underappreciated in the 60s and 70s, he may have been one of the most famous trumpet players in America. Who would have been more famous? Herb Alpert, who is overappreciated, I think. but who was a more famous trumpet player than Al Hurt? He was pretty big in the 60s. Dizzy? I don't know. Miles? Al Hurt was more famous. What? Why are you smiling?
More famous than Miles Davis?
I think maybe.
Herb Alpert?
Not Herb Alpert, maybe, but as famous. Maybe. I would venture to say, David, if you want to do a little research.
What am I going to do? Look up public opinion from 1967?
No, you can look up total album sales.
Ah.
Al Hurt was, he was inserted as a line into TV shows, and I think was a regular on the Carpenters TV show. Who became more famous later? Probably Doc Severinsen was the most famous trumpet player in America for a while, probably. But Al Hurt was a tremendous talent, really tremendous, very skilled.
Oh, gosh.
What? What'd you learn? Did you learn something already?
Over all time, Herb Alpert has sold over 72 million records.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. What about Herb Alpert? What about Al Hurt?
Al Hurt had a little over two.
2 million?
Yep. And Miles Davis, little over nine. So yeah. Herb Alpert blew both of those guys out of the water.
Yeah, but I wonder about the decade.
I don't know.
Those are lifetime sales. I wonder about the decade. I bet in the decade Al Hurt was more famous.
Kind of Blue reached 1 million total sales in 1997.
Yeah. Herb Alpert figured something out. I had a teacher once tell me.
You know, I wonder if they're just including everything that A&M has ever produced.
Well, that would be $720 billion or something.
Right.
Yeah, I think maybe. All right. Anyway, thank you for that quick research, young David. But I'm open to the suggestion that there was a more famous trumpet player in the 60s than Al Hurt or 70s. Eww. All right. Anyway, Jonathan Haidt, Four Reforms. No smart phones before high school, only basic phones with no internet capability. Can we do that with our kids? Can we go back to that? No social media before 16. Let their brains develop first. All schools from elementary through high school should be phone-free zones. Students can store their devices in lockers. Yes, please to that. Getting a thumbs up from Mr. Bill. And can we bring back unsupervised play? Can kids be kids once again? Only in that way will kids naturally develop social skills and become self-governing and not need pillows and cuddle dolls and safe spaces in college dorms when an election doesn't go the way they think it should? Can they? It's funny. I've now heard two prominent people tell the same story, which was when I was growing up, they both said when they were growing up, their parents had no idea what they were up to after school. They just had to be home for dinner. And it was dinner, not lunch, that they had to be home for. Lunch was something you got at school. It was called a school lunch, young David. Dinner was the nighttime meal. In any event, that was the history of America. Now, we, and the history of childhood, and the history of normal childhood rearing, letting kids be kids, letting gravity give them, as Adam Carolla puts it, letting gravity give them bone density so they don't end up losing muscle mass and bone density in environments without gravity, zero gravity environments, like astronauts. They need to have weight put on them. They need to feel weight. They need to get dirty. They need to be exposed to germs and not drenched in Purell and wrapped in bubble wrap, sealed in bubble wrap. That's how you make a healthy young adult, which is how you make a healthy adult. And we are not making healthy young adults or healthy adults right now. More to say when we come back. Seth Leibson here from my friends from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, that belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do, a controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call to veteran-owned Midas Gold Group at 480-360-3000. Or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 480-360-3000 or MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group. MAGA, am proud of it. MidasGoldGroup.com. Yes, sir. What?
What?
What? Do you have a tag? Did I ask you about your pin today?
No, you have not asked me.
What's your political pin today?
Pin today. Yes. And we've talked a lot about Pete Wilson today.
Yeah.
But I'm not wearing a Wilson pin today. I'm wearing a Dole Kemp in 96 pin.
He almost ran for president in 96.
He sure did run for president in 1996.
Well, that's debatable.
Debatable?
It is.
He walked for president?
Yeah, it was debatable because I got into a fight with Tevi Troy. You can ask him about this. We got into a we entered a bet early in that race. I said if Pete Wilson gets in, he'll win the nomination. And Tevi said, no way would that be true. And he thinks he won that bet, and I think he didn't get in.
Like Seinfeld with, are you going to do levels for your apartment? I decided not to do it. Well, that's the bet.
I don't know that he did.
He entered.
I don't know. Let's not spend a lot of time on this. Let's just call Tevi.
I've got a question for you, though.
What?
You know, when I go look up the 1996 election on, like, Wikipedia or something, they say a lot of figures explored candidacies, you know, like Lamar Alexander or former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. One of the figures that's mentioned is your old boss.
There was a draft Bennett.
Draft Bennett. Yeah. You want to tell me about that?
Yeah. Well, there was a big effort to have William Bennett run. A lot of people say he would have won. He was just on the tail end of his Book of Virtues fame and stuff like that. And
so what stopped him?
I think he's on public record saying that the distinction was between him and how Phil Gramm looked at things. Phil Gramm, remember Phil Gramm? He ran for president that year too, I think, if I'm not mistaken. He was having a conversation with Phil Gramm, and Phil Gramm said he was looking at his schedule, and over the next 100 days, he has 90 dinners at 90 different venues and 90 different cities. And Bill just heard that and said, no, I can't do what it takes to run for it. He was too busy with his scholarship and other things and pursuits. He's much better as an advisor than as a candidate. He was suggested to run again. George W. Bush asked him in 2000 if he'd consider being on a shortlist for vice president, and he turned that down too. Electoral politics weren't his thing.
Well,
he and Jack Kemp were partners. It was Kemp's thing, not Bennett's thing.
Yes, it was Kemp's thing, and he was a very good campaigner in 1996. Yeah. But I do remember what Senator Dole famously jest on election night that year.
What?
Well, tomorrow I won't have anything to do.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
What did Barry Goldwater say?
I don't know.
It's a country,
it probably wasn't televised.
This is a country where anyone can grow up to be president except me.
Oh.
Yeah. Mr. David.
Mr. David Dahl, you're over there.
Yes, Mr. David Dahl over there. Those are the two things about Barry Goldwater. His brother's advice to him when he was asking him to run for Senate, if he should run for Senate, and his brother Bob Goldwater said, you should run. It won't be forever, and it might be fun. I tell that to candidates, prospective candidates, all the time when they ask, should I run? I give that advice. It won't be forever, and it might be fun. And then that other line at the capstone of the presidential, it's a country where any man can grow up to be president except me. Anyway, Mr. Bill, confusing my people here. Mr. Bill, you saw the Sodalax chicken fried bacon.
It's quite a food.
It's quite a thing, right?
Is it
road trip worthy? Snook, Texas.
Well, Texas alone is like 40 hours of driving across, right? So maybe it depends on where in Texas.
Now, you're a
Snook.
Now you have this, you're the most healthy eater I know.
Thank you.
Hardly any meat passes your lips, and you eat the same lunch almost every day, or almost the same lunch every day, which consists of tomatoes, carrots, rice, and beans. Am I missing something?
Oh, you've also got the broccoli.
And you've
peas.
Got your broccoli. You've got your cruciferous vegetables.
Of course.
But you also have this theory when someone brings in a pie cake in or something, a pizza or something like this, that free trumps healthy.
Exactly.
So you will get your carbs or your meat. I guess rice and beans has carbs, but you will get your meat and sugars from refined sugars from the occasional generosity of strangers and coworkers.
He's got That's the spare right. calories in his diet.
So the question becomes, chicken fried bacon, as the man with the healthiest personage that I know, would you do that if it were free?
I would have to try it. It's fascinating.
What's the best line in there, in that video?
The best line? Well, to me, the best moment was the guy in between bites taking a drag off of his cigarette. You have to be in for the whole package.
You have to see the whole thing. I like the woman who says, needs more salt.
Of course.
Yeah. Check it out. You guys can check it out. It's Sodalax. It's chicken fried bacon, and you can get it on YouTube. What happened to Richard? He was on the line. He gave up. Hopefully he'll call back. Okay.
Doesn't Snook, Texas seem like a place that would be made up in a Dr. Seuss book?
Yeah.
We went to Snook, and then maybe something that
the
rhymes
The Sneetches came from Snook.
Yeah, yes, that's perfect.
Something like that. Snook, Texas, or a place in, gosh, you know, we were talking, was it with Lewis Hallman the other day? We were talking about, yeah, it was with Lewis Hallman. We were talking the other day about how the way we talk about the transgender issue in America. Matt Walsh does this thing in his documentary. He goes to Africa, right? And he shows them some of our debates about trans, and they just don't understand it. It just makes no sense to them. I was thinking about that in the context of how we do race in this country, too, versus how they do it in Africa. How we do it in America now, given our problems, we ban Dr. Seuss. That's what we do.
Yeah, right.
Right. Dr. Seuss is the problem. And weirdly, it was an author who was trying to integrate the notion into the stories that race didn't matter, like with the book about the Sneetches, for example. And anyway, we're an upside-down society. We're a sick society. What do I say often? If a commission from Darfur came to America to see how we handle our race crisis, and they saw they're banning Dr. Seuss, they'd go back thinking, yeah, not the right place to go. All right, we'll be right back. Thank you for that report, Mr. Bill. What are you playing for us there, young David?
This is the best I could do with a song about fried chicken and Seth Leibson.
What is it?
Doc Severinsen's Chicken Chatter.
I don't care about fried chicken. I care about
chicken fried.
I care about chicken fried cheeseburgers. That's what I care about.
Well, this is Chicken Chatter.
Yeah.
By Doc Severinsen.
Not apt. Portions of the show brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. They give you a ton of flexibility and control when you invest with them. There are absolutely no fees with YRefi. There is no attack on principal. If you ever need your money back, you can turn your income on or off. You can compound it, whatever you like. And, of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises. Best of all, with this secure investment in a collateralized portfolio that YRefi offers, you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return. 10.25% fixed rate of return, and it's not correlated to the Federal Reserve or the stock market. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's the word invest, the letter Y, then refy.com, or give them a call at 888-YRefi. 24. They're also headquartered here locally. They're on Chauncey Lane in North Phoenix. You can visit with them. I've been there any number of times. They don't give you a sales pitch, and you won't be asked to sign a thing. I think we'll do this maybe a little bit tomorrow because I have Sam Stone coming up. I don't know. Maybe we'll get into this a little bit with Sam. But many of you are familiar with the podcaster Joe Rogan. I think he probably has the highest rated podcast, or at least the highest rated podcast on interview podcast or whatever the category is that he's in. He has interesting guests. He himself is, I don't think, that smart, I have to tell you. And there are two ways to tell. One is listen to him. Now, he does draw out the interviewee very well. And that takes, that takes its own skill and intelligence, of course. He's not unintelligent. He's just not that smart. The other thing is listen to him. He just doesn't say smart things. But the other way is, when's the last time anyone ever said this sentence. Joe Rogan said today, no one quotes him. You don't quote Joe Rogan. I've never heard him. I mean, you could if he said something smart, but you don't. Unlike other podcasters, let us say, like Adam Carolla, for example. People say, well, Adam Carolla said da-da-da-da-da. It's the difference between, you know, smart and not smart. Long lead up to an interview he did with Coleman Hughes that I want to play with you all tomorrow. Coleman Hughes was that scholar from the Manhattan Institute who schooled the ladies on The View on Martin Luther King last week. Schooled Joe Rogan on a bunch of stuff, too. And it's the art of rhetoric. If I don't get into it with Sam in the next hour, we'll get into it tomorrow. Okay, Sam Stone coming up. We'll be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.